your views editor at expeared.co.uk, inviting letters, comments, or contributions, which may be edited to fit the space available. Keep driving with IAM. I read with interest Barry Clement's useful article in the autumn 2025 issue of The Pensioner. I wonder, are readers/members aware of the Institute of Advanced Motorists, now known as IAM Road Smart, a UK organisation with the objective of upskilling fully licensed drivers and riders to be competent, confident and safe? While IAM membership requires an intense training programme, the Institute offers a mature driver's assessment, MDA, for anyone over the age of 70 years old. This involves a driver spending around 1 hour driving in their own vehicle in a familiar area with a qualified assessor, who can give immediate feedback on level of fitness. The full training for membership and the much shorter MDA both attract fees paid to IAM. Full details are at https://www.iamroadsmart.com. I became a member of IAM 25 years ago and, of my own volition, have taken the MDA twice, following my 70th and 80th birthdays. In each case, it was reassuring to receive the high fitness level grade. I strongly recommend taking these opportunities before driving confidence or competence are lost, or a concerned loved one confiscates the car keys. Happy motoring. Jennifer McLernan, Ballymena. When I was about 71, I noticed in the press the grumbles about older motorists, so I decided to arrange for a disabled driver's assessor to check me out. He tested me on the harsh equipment he had, quite demanding. At the end, he made no comment, so I asked him why I had omitted to signal on exiting a roundabout at the second exit. The same press stuff cropped up again some years later, so I arranged for an assessment through Cornwall County Council and for a fee I did a 14-mile drive. Finally, in about 1991, I arranged an assessment with the Institute of Advanced Motorists. The assessor, a former police sergeant, gave me a satisfactory rating but with some pertinent remarks. The fee was £75 but worth it. I would recommend that readers of your article sort out their suitability to be behind the wheel by that means. I am 93 now and have returned my driving license to the DVLA after 71 years of motoring. Peter Melindine, Truro. In reference to the article on older drivers in the Autumn magazine, I would recommend the Mature Driver Review offered by the Institute of Advanced Motorists. As someone who passed their driving test at the age of 18, I thought it worthwhile 60 years later to refresh my driving skills. I found the course, which lasts about an hour, to be very constructive and with positive feedback to hopefully enable me to go on driving safely for a few more years. Derek Pratt, Worthing. Hold on to your license. I was interested in the article "Do We Need a Stop Sign?" because when I began to feel unsafe, I stopped driving and gave up my driving license. Now I regret having done so. Not because I want to drive, but because I need one to access so many government websites. To make a new will, I need a driving license or passport and have neither. I also need them to open a new bank account, to interact with the government's website, to verify my bank account and a host more things. In fact, not having one or the other is threatening to turn me into a total non-person. To anyone contemplating giving up your driving license, even if you don't use or want to use it, I would suggest hanging on to it. It is cheaper than a passport and is evidence that you exist. Be careful what you give up. It could lead to trouble. Oh, it won't affect the way they tax you, but so many things now want a government-issued photo ID, and a driving license proves who you are. Roger Court, Didcot. Capita Warning. I read the article in Autumn's The Pensioner about the transfer of CSP administration to Capita, and I am pleased to learn that you are involved in discussions with the Cabinet Office and Capita about the transfer. I think you ought to know that there have been reports in the media, in the past 12 months, about a problem with teachers' pensions, administered by Capita. It appears that Capita have been using a data matching tool, comparing UK deaths data with pensions recipients, and in many cases stopping the pensions for people who are still alive. Death is assumed unless the hapless recipients prove they are still alive. I sincerely hope this ridiculous process is not to be used in CSP administration, and that it is something you can seek to influence in your discussions. Eddie Corrigan, York. 3 points. Here are a few thoughts prompted by the autumn edition of The Pensioner. The item on the road safety, P18, caused by dwindling faculties among old drivers, arrived on the same day as the Times carried an article on the accidents and overdoses that befall young summer partygoers on Ibiza. It included the wonderful phrase age-related recklessness. This has always been reflected in road accident statistics, but can't be tested for like failing eyesight or slowing reflexes can. The sentence older people without children can feel invisible, marginalized and ignored, in politics, P22, reflects my situation. My wife and I have a nephew and three nieces, and that's it for the next generation, one in Cumbria, one in Germany and two in Vancouver, all with their own families. Luckily, our neighbors are united by our community's struggles with our landlord, the allegedly charitable housing association Peabody, and that keeps us all involved and aware of each other. Finally, our estate bestrides East London's Victoria Park, which is home to many foxes. Half of it is in the London borough of Tower Hamlets, which Chris Proctor sniffily proclaims to be less fragrant than his Camden Town abode. The other half is in Hackney, which does dispose of the bodies of dead foxes when asked. So there. Nick Wood, London. Outfoxed? I agree with Chris Proctor's comments on urban foxes. I believe some people are now rather naive, giving human names to wild animals and losing track of the real nature of animals in the wild. This is probably due to the numerous nature programs on television. I can sympathize with Mr. Proctor about the rubbish left by urban foxes, although here in Glasgow we have wheelie bins which safeguard any scattering of food remnants. I have an urban garden on the edge of countryside and occasionally a solitary fox will visit, and I think preyed on the frogs in my small pond, but not much else. So I consider myself fortunate compared with Chris. David Simpson, Glasgow. Dear Chris Proctor, your creed occur in the autumn pensioner echoed what goes on here. The list is endless. In my garden there is detritus from the streets, pits dug in various parts, pots emptied, and the tearful owner, me, has given up making it better. The Fox Family's Rule. Brenda Levinson. I realize Chris Proctor's column about foxes in the autumn issue is intended to be amusing, but his daughter is right about putting food out. If you feed wild animals such as foxes and squirrels, then content as they are with full stomachs, they don't need to eat other less desirable items. I and others in our neighborhood put food out for them because we like to see them. They don't leave mess everywhere. He should take his daughter's advice. Philippa Gibson, Middleton-on-Sea. Article ends.